Study and I appreciated the questions and the interaction. That's what makes it really good, is when everybody really gets in there and begins to move. And I really appreciate that, and I appreciate everything Brother Daniel had to share with us too. Yeah. And it's nothing like having truth and knowing what it is. Amen. So we trust that if the Lord allows us to continue here on earth, we'll have more of those Bible studies. Just want to remember the Williams family that will be traveling today, visiting some family. Also remember the families of those that were killed in yesterday's tragedy or injured. Remember the Trump family. I'm sure that they're terrified. It is a shame that someone, you know, disagrees so much that they think they have to kill you. But that's the hour we live in. And we have the consolation of knowing that God's will is going to be accomplished in this earth. And so that's where we put our confidence. That's where we put our hope. That's where we stay. And so, but we do want to pray for those. And, you know, if God would allow this country to turn off to a good cycle again, I would appreciate that. But if it's not God's will that happen, it looks like, you know, not to second guess, but it looks like that America's pretty much done. But if he would, we certainly would love that. And so we want to pray for those in power, that God will have his way in their life, right? Amen. And so just like we would our own lives. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to read verse 1 through 3, and then we'll go to verses 18 through 25. How many love the word?
Amen.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God had created and made. In verse 18 to 25. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help me." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam and to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names unto all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And they were naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And then I want to go to St. John chapter 5, verse 19 through 27. St. John chapter 5, verse 20, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doth, these also doth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is come, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Let's just pray again. Lord, as we come to this portion of the service this morning, we are asking, God, that you break the bread of life to each one of your children. And Lord, as we gave the prayer request there a while ago, we pray that for the families of those that are sorrowful today, and we pray, oh Lord, for the different people in power in our country, Lord, that you would just grant mercy. And this morning, Lord, that your healing presence would go out with your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title this morning is Returning to Full Sonship. Returning to Full Sonship. We pray that the Lord will be able to express what he wants this morning through me. We talk quite a bit about the nature and character of God. And so start off this morning with a question is, what is the characteristics of God that sets him apart from all others? And most of you, probably all of you, already know what that is, but God has characteristics. He can be a father. He can be all the different things. A son. He can be a healer, a savior, a keeper, a guide, all kinds of things. And, you know, a lot of people can say, well, God makes me feel good. Well, so can Satan.
Sure.
Right? So God can make me shout. Well, so can the devil. Right? Because we know that different religions and worship the devil even have shouting and so forth. And so, but there is a characteristic about God that sets him apart. Brother Graham tells us that Satan, or Lucifer, was equal with God in every way except in creation.
That's right.
That's the one thing that sets him apart from all others. So if you really think about that, you know, Satan is not a creator, he is a perverter. But he's a good perverter.
Yeah.
To take what God has created and pervert it to try and make it do what he wants to do and so forth. And so that characteristics of God that it sets him apart from all other is one thing, and that is the ability to create.
Yeah.
And so not just to create, but let me say it this way, because we know Scripture tells us God created by his word. Right?
Right.
Now think of that. That is, I don't know that we could comprehend everything that could, you know, about that topic that we could talk about or try to talk about. But the concept that you would speak, and by that word, it would create a world,
yeah.
Create a circumstance, create whatever, create missing limbs or whatever it is. An interesting thing about it is, I had thought this for a while, and heard Brother Branham saying this, that God had to believe his own word.
That's right.
Right? We know that a man is only as good as his word, right? And so, but God, you realize that here he was, and he has his characteristic that no one else has, and that is that he could speak and then believe his own word, and by believing his own word, things come into being that weren't there.
That's right.
That's the gene of God.
Right?
That is the thing that sets him apart from all others. That's the gene, I'll use the word gene trait of God, that he can do that. Because Satan can do everything else.
Yeah.
Every sensation, everything that, you know, outside of that God can do, Satan can do.
Yeah.
But he can't create. And so God, then in essence, that makes us understand that's the core of who God is. And it is the Word.
Yep.
Right.
He does it because we know the Scripture said, in the beginning was the Word, and it was God, and it was with God. And so God took on that form of his Word, and that is life. That Word is the Word of life. But that is the very core being of life is in that Word.
Yep.
Right? And so that's what sets him apart from all others. And so outside of that, outside of creative power, then, you know, we should reserve what we would look at and think about anything else. Just know that anything other than that could be a fake.
Right?
Right? Because there's one thing that's real, and that carries that characteristics and that trait. And so the ability to speak and believe your own word is and to think about this, it's hard to imagine, but I hope I can get this across, but it's hard for us to imagine eternity. It's maybe a little bit easier to imagine from this time forward, never going away, all, you know, being from, you know. But for me, it's a little bit harder to look back and say we've always been, or God's always been. But here's what I want to try to say, that with the ability to speak and believe, you could create anything. And by speaking and believing, you could create eternity. Understand? Because there is no limit to when you can create. It's like, and I'm so glad that Satan is not a creator, because, you know, if he was, then, you know, God would create a weapon to defeat Satan, and then Satan would come along and create something bigger,
right.
And God would create something else, and Satan would create, kind of like all these superpower movies and shows and stuff like that, that good and evil, and they both have powerful weapons, and they're always trying to outdo the other one.
Right.
And see, that's what it would be like. But see, God holds that one thing to himself, and by that one thing, he can whip anything that would ever try to come.
Right?
Anything that would ever try to raise up. But what I want to show you is that what that is, that characteristic, that's the essence of who God is to be able to speak and believe his own word and make something come into being, whatever it is.
Right?
Amen. That's the characteristics of God. That's the gene trait of God. And so, to me, and this is my terminology, some of it, this is the thought of how I want to express this morning, but God is singular in himself. And what I mean by that was, when you look up the words, or look up the concept of singularity in science, they talk about the singularity was when the universe started. That one event that everything come from, that's a singularity. It stands alone by itself. And from that singularity come all this.
Right.
See? So you go all the way back, and it's as far back as they can go. So, singularity. And then also nowadays, they have another term that they're using for singularity, and that is what they say is that when AI, the moment when AI takes over, and we can't stop it. You can look it up yourself. Science is talking about that. But my whole point is all that, there's only really one singularity.
Right,
there's only really one that it all can go right back to him, and he stands alone by himself, and that is God himself. He's my singularity, amen. And so, and from him, in that essence of that singularity, is that being who can speak and believe, and by that create anything that he wants. That's a gene trait of God, amen. It's a gene trait. And so that nature that is in him is passed to his sons. You know, it's really, you know, in this life and in the things that we battle in the fall and mindset and so forth, it's kind of, you know, but we have to accept this to realize that the offspring of a dog is a dog.
Yeah.
Offspring of a horse is a horse, or a cow is a cow. Right? Why is an offspring of a dog a dog? Why does a dog do what it does? Well, it does it because its parent did.
Yeah.
Horse is like a horse because its parent did. Right? And, you know, if somebody said, man, I saw it, that horse gave birth to a dog, you'd know I was lying. Because we understand that every seed brings forth fruit of its own kind. That's a law of God. But then yet, when we want to turn around and say, well, then the sons of God would be like God. Oh, that's a little bit harder. You understand what I'm saying? But sons of God have a gene trait of their father. If God stands alone and Satan and all this other stuff can do everything except that one thing, and then God, if God passed to his children something less than that, then they'd be defeated. But he passes to them that family gene trait of God, is that sons of God have that same ability in them.
Yeah.
The same ability to speak and to believe and to create. That's why the prophet would have to say this. I'm having to say it myself today that if you have any part of God in you at all, if you're a child of God, then you can speak a world and then go step in and live in it. But as he said, it's controlled by faith. And so this gene trait, this characteristic of God passes on to his sons. And so sons are given singularity, right? They have that life, that gene in them. Man. So we see here in the scriptures that we just read just a little while ago, we know Adam was the son of God. So Adam would have that trait. Adam would have the wisdom of God. He'd have everything that would pass from God to his child would be there. And so we can see that was represented. We saw that in the scriptures where when God had worked for 6 days creating. And then the scripture said that on the seventh day he rested. And the reason why is what we understand is that when God got through creating, he could turn around and walk away because he had created a son. And this son was now going to go on with the same attribute and carry on. And so that's why you find that after that creation, then here's Adam standing there and he's able to name the animals. So he was able to have the wisdom and the mind and character of God that no matter what came before it, he could properly identify what it was, speak the name that matched its nature, placed it into what it was in God's economy and so forth. You understand? So you see that characteristic of God in Adam when he was standing there identifying all the animals that came to him. And so what I want to show you there, that wasn't something Adam just learned. You know, that's like, that was the character and nature of God that was in him.
Right.
Because of who he was, the Son of God. That life of God was in him. And so we notice he could recognize when those things would come up before him, he could recognize whatever it was and give it the name that matched what God thought it was.
Yeah.
Right? He was always in the, because it was the same life, same nature. And so if you'll notice there, he was able, as they all come to him, because the scripture said that there was no helpmeet. There's no helpmeet for Adam. And so this whole process, and you got to catch this now, this whole process that all creation, God began to have all the animals and all the birds and all the things come before Adam. And Adam was looking at that, and Adam said, well, that's a horse, that's a pig, that's a cow. But there was not a helpmeet found. Nope, that's not for me. That's not me. That's not part of me. That's not what would, right? He brought them all there, and he could identify every one, and through that ability to identify, he knew those were not part of himself.
Right.
Right? But as soon as God put him to sleep and then took the rib out and made woman, as soon as God brought the woman to him, he said, now there you go. That's my part. That's my flesh and my flesh, my bone and my bone. Right?
Yeah.
See, so what I want you to see there is that Adam could recognize what was himself.
Right.
That nature of God, that nature of the presence of God in him, could identify these things, could know what he was looking at.
Right.
Could know what was not part of him, and could know what was part of him.
Yeah.
Now what if that characteristic come out into any other son of God? He'd begin to understand these things. He wouldn't be confused like the rest of the world is. When the sons of God begin to come back into full sonship, they start coming to know some stuff.
Right.
They start to come to understand some things about who they are and what part they belong to and what part they don't belong to. What doesn't belong to them.
Right.
So you understand that concept. So Jesus understands by this, we know, as Adam understood who his body was, who his wife was, we know by typology, Jesus understands what belongs to him.
Yeah.
He understands the church that is his body.
Mm-hmm.
And he understands all the rest of what they are. Clearly.
Right.
Amen. So we see here that Adam was a son of God with the nature of God in him. He had the nature of the Word in him. Because I said a while ago, that core thing that set him apart was the Word. So Adam had that in him. He had that wisdom, that character in him.
Yeah.
But what happened when Adam fell? Right? When he fell, he was still a son of God,
right?
But he fell from access,
yeah,
to that Word, to that creation, to that dominion. He lost that. So that shows you that creative power and dominion and all that dwells with the Word. And when you fall from the Word, you lose the characteristics of that Word. You lose the dominion that you have, the characteristics of believing and speaking and creating and all those and understanding that what's going on and what all the things are in the world. You fall from it, so now you don't understand these things. Because you've fallen from that creative being and that power.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
You're still a son of God.
Right.
Right? And couldn't be lost. There would have to be some way, God would have to set for some sort of process that could bring Adam back to the place where he could have those characteristics once again.
Right.
Right? But as a fallen child, he didn't have access to it. As a fallen son of God, he died within 1,000 years, just like Eve and the rest of them had. Right? Because in the day that you eat there, you die. Right? No recorded history of anyone being more than 1,000 years old. Amen? Except the Lord himself. Man, and so he lost that creative nature and lost that dominion. Now, because the word is everything. And so without the word, you can do nothing. And so Jesus, even Jesus come here as a son of God, but he couldn't operate in himself as a son. He had to be obedient to the one that sent him, obedient to his father.
Right.
Right? Now there comes a place where Jesus graduated until he went to full adoption. And then he could say, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. But prior to that, as a son, all he could do is say, I obey him and I can't do a thing unless he shows it to. But everything he shows me, I do it.
Right.
Right? I'd love to have that testimony. I'd love to be able to say that every time God moves up on me, I obey it.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Brother, sister, that's where we're headed.
Yes.
That's exactly where we're headed. That's exactly what God is doing to us in this word.
Yes.
Amen? And so without the word, you have nothing. But with the word, it's a creative overcoming ability to create and overcome everything. And so that word is life.
Right?
Right? If you have the ability to create and to overcome anything that would come at you, nothing could ever kill you.
Right?
Because you have that characteristics.
Right.
Now, we don't, Brother Bram tells us, in the spoken word is the original seed. You know, that it, God's, you know, his, we come here to this earth. We were to come here as fully manifested sons of God and here on this earth. But because of the fall, we come here anyway.
Yeah.
We're still sons and daughters of God. We come here anyway, but we're in a fallen condition. That means we don't have ready access to that characteristic that I'm talking about, of creative power and faith and all that. We come here fallen from that, but we're still sons and daughters of God, and so he's not going to lose one of his.
Right.
So we realize he would have to make a plan where he could bring us back so we could come back to that place we'd fallen from.
Right.
That's the whole plan of redemption all along. And so we come here into a fallen condition. Come anyway. Still sons, but without that nature of the word. So God set out to bring us back. And we realize that Jesus was the first one. He was the first one to express full sonship after the fall. Before the fall, Adam was at full sonship expression when all these things could come before him. He had clarity. He had the mind of God and all that. But after the fall, he lost that, and all that come after him had lost all that too.
Right.
But then Jesus come along, and for the first time since the fall, now there was a Son of God standing there who had all that full expression of sonship. He was brought right back into those things. And so that's what, why he was our Redeemer, why he could be our Redeemer. Amen. And so we come here anyway. So what would happen if sons of God are brought back into that nature? Now think about that. We came here, came in a fallen condition, but what if something happened that you could bring sons and daughters of God right back into that very thing, that very nature of the character of God? What do you think would happen? What would be the situation around those sons and daughters of God? Amen. And so we know what it would be. It'd be just like it was with Jesus and just like it was with Adam before the fall. And so we realize that God's going to bring us back to that. That's what his plan of redemption is to bring us back to full sonship. And so, in looking up the word, you know what the word, the Hebrew word for man is? Anybody know? The Hebrew word for man, Adam. The word Adam. I got that because I was listening to a Hebrew song. And they had captioning there. And I think they had both captioning, both Hebrew, and it was put in English. And I noticed that every time they came to the word man, they said Adam. Because Adam, like I said, God is singularity, because it all come from him.
Right.
Well, the word Adam was like that.
Yeah.
See, because Adam was the source of all flesh, source of all. So in Hebrew, when they think about man, general, man and woman, humanity, they say Adam. Because Adam represented, we were all offspring of him. Right? And so it's all considered Adam. And we know Scripture said that because Adam fell, but when one man fell, then death come on all of us who are offspring of him.
Right?
Right? But the Scripture said he was Adam, but then it called and referred to Jesus as the last Adam.
Yeah.
I was speaking to someone one time, and I made the mistake of saying the second Adam. And this person corrected me. Somebody wasn't even in the message or anything like that, but this person could correct him and said, no, it's the last Adam. Because you understand, you don't need any more after this one.
Right.
Jesus was the last Adam. We had one, and from him was all flesh, and all the fall came from him, but then we had another Adam come along who was another singularity, another source of all things, and all the offspring birthed from him have life. Death came from the first Adam, but life comes from the second one,
yeah.
Right? So we're all offspring of him, mm-hmm. Right? Offspring of him underneath that birth.
Yeah.
Amen. And so that's why I really like the concept there. So now we have another Adam who is the singularity, the one that we come from.
Yeah.
So Jesus was that. And so When Jesus came, and you know, he was in flesh, he would hunger, he had to sleep and rest, and you know, he was, even though he was God in flesh, in his flesh he was aging. He was aging. They said, well, you're not a man 50 years old yet. So, because if he wasn't aging, then he wouldn't be like us, and he couldn't be kinsman redeemer. He had to be just like us. So he felt the growing pains when he was a child growing up, and he had all the temptations that we have and so forth, because he, you know, and so he was in flesh just like us.
Right.
But in that form, in flesh just like us, he was not separated from that character. He had that nature of God. He was that one, that first one that come in full sonship, in full obedience. And therefore, because he had full obedience to the word, which he was, right?
Right.
He was in full obedience to that. So he had that creative character. He had that. That's why he could speak and do the things that he did and create fish and loaves and all, because he had that character. He hadn't been fallen from it, right? And so in that nature and in that character, he said, don't you know? And when he was in all the situation goes, he says, don't you know I could call for 12 legions of angels or whatever, however number. I could call for them and change this situation. He could have. But we all know that was not the plan of God.
Right.
So here he was, not a fallen son. A son that was in full fellowship, full obedient, one who really could speak the world and go live into it. He could have said, you know what, I'm done with this place. He could have spoke another planet and been instantly there. And let's let earth perish.
Right.
But he didn't, see? See what I'm saying? And so this is the thing, that when we come into power, when we come into authority, and this is the problem, what we see with rulers of the world, they come into power and authority, and they begin to abuse it and use it for themselves and use it for things. But Jesus didn't do that.
Right.
Here he was, he had full power, full authority, full abilities, and what did he do with that? Did he become arrogant? You see what I'm saying? Was he arrogant? No, he was humble. He was obedient. Never arrogant. Never trying to do his own will. Always submissive to the word, the character, the nature of this creative power that lived in him.
Yeah.
Right? Yet he was flesh. Showing us that we too could be here. And as sons and daughters of God, that we too, if this plan of redemption does full place within us that God can bring us back to the place that where if we're in full obedience and that we too will be humble and obedient and never try to do something ourselves, never try to make something happen ourselves, that even if God did give us creative spoken power, which we're coming to, right? It's been displayed in our day. Even though that's all here, we wouldn't be using it for something contrary to God's will.
Right.
We see that. That's a very core concept of a son coming to adoption. So what I want you to focus on is that the character of Jesus, the character of this one who came, who was our Redeemer, who was the first one who showed that full sonship after the fall, look at his character. You know, his character was, would people would look at it from the outside and say, How's this? He lets him pull his beard out and they spit on him and he doesn't do anything about it and all that. How's that? Well, it's because he was a son, still tutored, still had to be obedient. He had to give his back to the smiters.
Yeah.
Right? He had to. And as long as we're on this side of full sonship, of that full adoption, then we're the same way. We must be obedient to the word of God. Never taking vengeance in ourselves.
Right?
We understand that. And so, Jesus, God set out to have this plan to bring us back so that we can all be like that. Amen. God sent us here to this earth. But the scripture tells us in Matthew 13 that, you know, we are wheat. And that the enemy also sowed tare here in this earth.
Right.
We have to admit that there are people here that God's word said are his children, and there are some here that aren't his.
Right?
So Jesus tells that parable, and the whole thing is, see, God put us here. We were going to come and we're going to be manifested sons of God, and yet the fall happened, and so we come here in a fallen condition. We're here anyway, and along with that, through that whole fall, what happened was now there's this tear, this false seed, false group of people that's also sowed in this earth, and so now you have confusion.
Right.
Now you've got all these people, and they both look alike, right? Because we understand, you do a study on tares, looks like wheat,
yeah. But
it's poison. Poisonous, it's not. And so now it's all mixed together. And as the parable goes there in Matthew 13, they're like, hey, how'd this happen? You know, and he said, they said, do you want us to go out there and try and get rid of all this wicked seed? And the master said, no, just let it alone. Because in your effort to go out and try and destroy the wicked, you might destroy some of my people. Right? This is the Bible. But he said, no, just let it alone. Let them grow together. Let them grow through the ages. Let them grow through the seven church ages. Let it all, and in all of that time, just let them grow together, and people's not going to be clear because they're not in full sonship yet, right? Like Adam would know. They don't know. They're confused. Don't know this. Don't know. I don't know who is right. Right? But the parable, as he said, but at the end, he's going to bring a clarification.
Right.
At the end, he's going to bring it clear. And so, at the end, something's going to happen that's going to be able to separate the wheat from the tares without hurting the wheat.
Right.
Now think about it. This is what the Bible said would come.
Right.
Is a move. A move of, and I'll call it a move of God because it's his whole plan, that he would cause something to take place where he could separate the wheat from the tares, that the wheat would be burned, but he could take the tares would be burned, and the wheat would be able to go into the barn. We understand the concept of that. And so, We come here and we got all this confusion. We don't know who's who, but at the end time, God will bring this separation and do it in a way where the wheat would not be hurt. Amen. So this is none other than bringing the sons of God to full sonship. a message coming, or messages come, or events that come, that would gather all those that aren't sons, gather them into their little groups or whatever we could say, bundles or whatever, at the same time, something else that would gather the wheat, something had to come to separate.
Right.
All along, nobody knew, but now when it's time, something had to come to separate it.
Right.
And I'm just saying, I'm appealing to you, what could it be that could come that would cause wheat to separate, to be clear that it's wheat, and to show that it's not this other thing that's death? And the same thing, it would gather all that so it can be ready for burning and fire. Something would have to take place.
Yeah.
And as we've said in different conversations and things, different sermons, you know, just as a people has an appetite, God's people would have an appetite. My sheep know my voice. They have a hunger for me. And we say it that way. Then all you really have to do to draw someone is just present what they have a hunger for. Right? Just present what they have a hunger for, and that'll draw them. And so they can be all mixed up and nobody knows what's going on. But all you have to do is come along knowing that there's a gene down inside the wheat plants that can respond to the thing that can quicken them. Just begin to show that. Show those truths. Show those. That's the appetite for the wheat, and the wheat just going to automatically become and be underneath a message, be underneath a truth.
Yeah.
But at the same time, these same messages going forth that would do that, these others don't have a love for the truth.
Right.
They don't have that, and so they wind up in their group.
Yeah.
Now, this is Bible, because he clearly said, sons of the king, you know, the children of the king and the children of the wicked one. So he went to send his sons here so we can be manifested sons. We come in a fall, and because of that fall, then now there's this other bunch. But at the end time, something happens to make it clear that God can deal with them and not harm the wheat in the process.
Right.
How do you do that? All you got to do is just present what their hunger is, and they'll come to it.
Yeah.
Amen. That's why one can say, he called me an eagle, and somebody else says, well, he called me a buzzard. Self-identification, right? That's you had to look at it, you know. And in both cases, the man that said called me an eagle, he's like, by my free moral agency, I see that he's talking about me. He called me an eagle,
yep.
And the other guy, by his free moral agency, said he called me a buzzard.
Yep.
God's not forcing nobody; he's just giving you what he knows you're going to be hungry for.
Yeah, that's right.
See. And so if genes mean anything at all, then there's traits that come from God, and there's traits that come from serpent, right? Why is it so hard for people to take that and go with it? But it's the truth. And these genetics will manifest themselves, and here at end time, there's something God does that shows what the difference is, a clarification, and it is a people returning to the Word and a people who won't return to the Word. Where's that core nature of God? It's in His Word.
Right.
How can people ever come back to that place where they can live throughout eternity and have that character of God if they never return to that? And so the whole world's, see, it's so clear. It's so clear. Man. So it's none other than the sons of God coming to full sonship, or none other than the sons of God coming to adoption, Bible adoption,
right,
where they are a son, but they're placed into power. So God just simply gathers the tares and the wheat into, and what is a barn? Gathers the wheat into his barn. What is a barn in harvesting? You don't leave it laying out in the field because it's going to perish. Right? Conditions are fine out there to ripen it, but once it's ripe, the seasons change. If you leave the wheat out there, if you leave your fruits out there, they're going to rot. So there's a process. It becomes a normal time in harvesting process that you've got to take that which you've labored for and that which has finally come to full power, take that and you put it into something that can protect it.
Yeah.
Get it away from that condition.
Yeah.
It's not meant for fire. It's not meant to lay out there and rot. So you take it and you put it into the garner, or put it into the barn. So what we're saying here is that when we come to this place, that God will move us into something that's a protective condition. And all that is just bring them right into the presence, back into the realm of the Word. Because, okay. I mean, remember how many times Brother Rim said that just they were behind the 40-foot thick wall of the Word.
Yeah.
Right? Then they'd stay behind that. Amen. We come and we sit in heavenly places in Christ. Set up in places where while the revealing of the Word and you're just in his realm and saints are nowhere to be found. Doubts out of the way because you're so quick into the Word. But when you come out of service and you go back out, well then you're out of that environment. Then doubts begin to come creeping back in and stuff. But the preaching of the Word makes the difference.
Right?
Drives back those things because it's in heavenly places. And so we know that this is sons of God coming to the place. And so it's expressed, if she'll bring up Matthew 24, 26 to 28, here's another way of expressing this. Throughout all the ages, you know, confusing, they'll say, oh, he's here and he's there. Here's how the Son of Man coming, see? And so, wherefore they shall say to you, behold, he's in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning coming out of the east and shine to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. There's so many things. Let's go back to the first one of those verses there. Those three verses there. Don't say he's in the desert. Don't say I got to go here because this is where it's going to be. You see the fallacy?
Right.
Under message?
Yep, right.
Chasing after men and places and things?
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
It's time for people to wake up.
Right?
Right? That's not the way it comes. And of course, they're going to say he's here in secret chambers and so forth. Let's go to the next verse, please. And so right here, we understand when you look at this, this is talking about how the gospel started in the east and traveled westward. So we know in the evening time, there'll be light. We understand what that means, that the coming of the Lord is not going to be all this stuff where people's trying to, oh, this is him and there and all that. No, it is a cycle where this gospel is going to move from the Middle East all the way to the West. And when it gets to the West Coast, when it's going to be evening time at the setting of the sun, then there's going to be light. Then at that time, the coming of the Son of Man, it's all going to unfold. Don't let people trick you throughout all these ages. It happens at end time, at evening time, and this is how you know. Let's go to the next verse, please. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. Amen. You know the nature of eagles. The scripture is saying, identifying believers at the end time as eagles. And you know eagles won't eat rotten food.
Right?
Right? So you know that what they're eating on, when it says a carcass, it doesn't say grain. It doesn't say whatever, but it says a carcass. Then you know that it is a fresh kill. The right meat for the eagle, and it's fresh. Not hundreds of years old. See, I show you here that the scripture is telling us that God's going to bring something forth at the end time, and it's going to be food for eagles only.
Right?
Right? The eagles, this is going to be food. I know other animals can probably eat that too, but he identifies us as eagles, and therefore there's an appetite that eagles have, and that's what's going to be. And he says, if you want to know how the coming of the Son of Man is, here's how it is. Just watch where watch where the fresh kill of the Word comes.
Yeah.
Watch that. And you're going to see the eagles come to that.
Right.
How do you gather them? How do you gather wheat? Just, you know, how do you gather God's children? Just preach something, bring something that is meat for them, and they automatically come.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Automatically. So this is expressed there in that scripture there that wheresoever the carcass is, that's where the eagles are gathered.
Right.
They're gathered to that. So I think I mentioned something kind of like this last night in Bible study, but when we see these kinds of things, then we have to realize, okay, I must see in my life, in my Christian experience, I must see something working in me that makes me love this fresh kill of the word. If I'm an eagle, if I'm going to fly, if I'm going to rapture, because all the rest of the beat can, right? If I'm going to do that, then I must see. And this is how for us to check up and say, am I? Examine yourselves. See if you be in the word. See if you be in this gospel. Can I see in myself something that really, really loves, not Luther's message, not just Wesley's message, though those are truth, but something that God has freshly done today, something that he has set forth that has the ability to gather wheat from the tares without hurting the wheat,
yeah.
Right? You're not going to hurt an animal if you feed him what they want.
Right?
Right? It's simple. This gospel is simple. Just give them what they have a hunger for, and that's how you draw them.
Right.
And so that's what God is doing. So he says, that's how you know. Just put that fresh kill of the word out there, and brother, sister, they'll come. You won't have to tell them to. They'll do it. And they're not going to be going into secret places and desert places and telling everybody, oh, this is it, this is it. They're just going to go to the word.
Right.
And that does it. Amen. That does it. So that's how God gathers his sons back to full sonship. Because, as I said, if we're ever going to come back into that character and that nature, we have to return to the word of it. And since most of the world don't want to do that, most of the world's not going to manifest full sonship. But all of God's sons will come.
That's right.
All of them will. How do they come? Just simply by giving the word that produces it. And so we're coming back to the word, full sonship is coming back to the word, coming back to full obedience to the word. Because the word is everything. We've come to the place where we put on immortality and we step into eternities because we're engulfed with and now back brought back to that word of this essential character and nature of God. We come right back into it, then there you are. See, that's how it happens. And so then you come into a condition that eternity is not an obstacle for you. Why? Because you had that character that can create anything.
Yeah.
You can have character to say, let eternity, I'm going to speak another eternity and let this eternity live in that eternity.
Okay.
You can do whatever you want. But it all be in the character of God, obviously. Right. Wouldn't be speaking something contrary. But I'm just saying, once you come to that place, not, that's how you can live throughout eternity. That's how why? Because you have, and it's hard to wrap our heads around, but this is the character and nature of God. And this is what he has imparted to his children, and it lays in you, but it has to be quickened, and the way he quickens is to bring you into the presence of the word that'll call it forth. But if you never come to that, if you never let that be your tutor, and bring you forth, and we know the Holy Spirit's a tutor, but He is always tutoring you to the current word of the day.
Right.
It's always him. Gathering us back. Bringing us to what? To full sonship.
That's right.
Full sonship of his word. Full obedience to his word. So that once you step into that full obedience of the word, then the things that go with that all begin to multiply around you.
Right?
Right? God let prophets and men through ages express a little bit of that.
Yep.
Even in our day. Amen. The word is everything. And so without the word, we don't have God and we don't have eternal life if we're without the word. Yep. We are God's children. Have that gene in them and we're quickened to that by the word that brings it forth. So now, we know we're coming to that. But here's the thing. We cannot take just an intellectual thought and say, well, I see that. We're to live the Word. And so I'm just going to go live the Word. You can't do that in yourself. Like we talked last night in Bible study. Don't try to be spiritual. Just walk with God.
Right.
And He'll produce all those things, right? And so if we just take up an intellectual thought and say, well, I've said in the message all these years, and I know we've got to come to adoption, and we're going to have to come to the place to speak, and go ahead and try it. Right? Go ahead and try it. I've tried to, and knowing down inside it wasn't working, but try anyway in the deer woods and say, let a 8-point buck come out from behind. How many's done something like that? I see the other hand. See what I'm saying? Try it. Did it work? No. No. See what I'm saying? Why? Because we're still sons. We're in tutorship. And you can't, you haven't come to the place where you can initiate it yourself. You can only do it, you know, what He gives you to do. And if that right inspiration would come and He would say that, then we could do it and it would happen. And that's what we've seen in some of these ministries, that God would send them so you could understand that this is what we're coming to. Listen, Brother Branham expressed this kind of thing, and we can't deny that. God would speak to him, and things would happen that shows us what this realm is that we're going to live in forever. Coming to that. See? And so, we know this is way it happens, but you can't come to this by just an intellectual thought. Just say, well, I'll just do this. Because it don't work. If you try that, then you're trying to take the Word of God and you're trying to manifest it through human intellect, human emotions, human desires. Well, I think this is what should happen, and it's all you. And when you take that and you mix the Word of God with that, it's a hybrid thing, and it can't produce what it really, because you've already hybrided it. So the only way we're going to see the manifestation of all these things is when there's no more hybrid stuff trying to come through us.
Right.
And yet we're in hybrid flesh, right? And so this whole thing comes all the way back to bringing us back to the Word, back to the obedience of the Word, so that the Word is expressed through us without our nation, without our nature, without our emotions, without what we think it should be. And this is what Jesus did. This is why He did the things He did, because He was in that condition.
Yeah. Right.
And of course, He comes to adoption, and then after that, all power in heaven and earth is given to Him. So, brother, sister, that's where we're at, see? A message. It's not going to come some other way. It's God. Listen, in the Garden of Eden, they heard the voice of God walking in the midst of the garden. How many times have you ever heard a voice walk? But you understand what God is saying there. The presence of God came down. And what was that presence? It was His Word. That was His presence. You know, we will never move into that realm until that Word becomes first place in our lives. Amen? And God will bring it to pass if you just stay in the Word. Amen. Can't do it by an intellectual decision. Well, I'm just going to do this. I'm glad I wasn't the only one who tried that. I'm going to throw out to this next stump under the water, and that's going to be my 8-pound bass. I've not done that because I don't fish that much, but if I had, I probably would have. Right? But you know what? I have had times where I walked in on a trail, and deer should have never come through that. And then sitting there, And the presence of the Lord just come down. And I pull my hat off. You're not supposed to be in the wood hunting with a hat, but when God comes down, you pull your hat off, right? Pull my hat off, and I'm all choked up because it's like, Lord, why would you do this? Why would you come here? I'm just sitting out here. Who am I? That you would just out of nowhere, you'd come, and your presence is here. And I look out of the corner of my eye, and here comes five, number of grace. Five full-grown, plump deer walking right in on the trail I had just come in on. It was, you know, He let me take one. They did the spook. I sat there waiting for the rest of them to go away so I could get up and field dress the thing, and it was getting dark, and I finally got up and had to just, and I got up and started making noise, and they didn't even run off. They just kind of milled away. See, just God, by His sovereignty, if we just walk with Him, by His sovereignty, He'll bring us into these things. But we have to walk and just in these things, no matter what the environment around us is. Right? Amen. So returning to full sonship is not mixing it with anything else. And if we don't mix it with anything else, including human emotions, then it will produce what full adopted sons of God produce.
Right.
Amen. That's where we are now, coming to this place. How do we know that we're at that hour? How do we know? Because these things are being renewed. For all these thousands of years, and people that were much more dedicated to studying that Bible than us, and it was closed book to them. But because God is allowing us to stand here and see and share and talk so freely about these things all the time, because it's been revealed. And that's how you know we're at that hour. Because God will never call for us to come to something that He doesn't provide it to where we can.
That's right.
Amen. But now it's our choice to say no to the world and walk in that that He has given us.
Amen.
Amen. And today, I get done before noon. Lord Jesus, we'll let the musicians come. We just so thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us to sit in heavenly places today in Your Word. And Lord, I can say these things. I can say them under inspiration. But Lord, I know that it has to be You on the other end, working and inspiring in the hearts of Your people, that they can just take these things and become ever so much a reality, not just for the moment, Lord, but to become something that's the core of who they are every day. Lord, so that when they're fighting the enemies and He comes and stands before them, Lord, that they can just say, "It is written," and know exactly who You are, who they are. We just ask, Lord, for Your blessings to continue to go with Your people. And with a fellowship today, Lord, pray that You just keep us and protect us. Help each one of us to return to our places this afternoon safely, Lord, and then this next week. May it be a glorious time in Your presence. I just know so much, Lord, whenever in the morning before I leave the house and I'm talking to You, that You know that one of the things I say after saying, "Lord, protect each one in the church, each one of us," that, but last of all, but most of all, let us just be in Your presence. Let's enjoy Your presence. And so, Lord, that's what I'm asking now. Let each one just enjoy Your presence, Lord. Let us begin to move up in these revelations and in these things, not just head knowledge, Lord, but to realize this is really who You are making us to be. That's what we're looking for, Lord. Our hearts are hungry, not for just something like past day revivals. We're looking, Lord, for the true manifestation of Your Word in this hour. And so, Lord, we're just asking for You to provide these things that we know You do through this prayer. Help us to just come into fellowship with Him now. In Jesus' name, we pray. Let's just stand and worship the Lord for a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you.